Second Kings chapter 6, here are some more things that went on in Elisha's ministry. Now, verse 24. These are a little bit longer stories. We're not going to be able to do them all, but we're going to do some of them. Verse 24. Some of these things sound like they don't have anything to do with Elisha at all, but they do eventually here. 24. And it came to pass after this that Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, gathered all his host and went up and besieged Samaria, went after the people. And there was a great famine in Samaria. And behold, they besieged it until an ass's head was sold for 40 pieces of silver and the fourth part of a cab of dove's dung for 5 pieces of silver. That's pretty rough. I mean, we're hurting for food. A cab. I had to look that up. What is a cab of, can't you just go buy this one? No, we'll talk about this in just a second. What is a cab? A cab. Anybody know what a cab is? Really? I got 2 pints and 5/6. 2 pints and 5/6. What's it say right there? Your note say what?
3.84 cents.
Okay. Well, when you're messing with when you're messing with dove dung, does it really matter? Yeah, that's just, I mean, you know, you guys go pick an owl. What do you call them? Pellets. There we go. Pellets is a nice name for it. Not so much they're hurting for food. And as the king of Israel was passing by upon the wall, there cried a woman unto him, saying, "Help, my lord, O king." And he said, "If the Lord do not help thee, when shall I help thee?" That's a good question. You know, you come whining into some pastor, minister, somewhere, and get help us do this. Well, listen, if the Lord isn't going to, what's going to get in your Bible? "If the Lord do not help thee, when shall I help thee? Out of the barn floor or out of the wine press?" And the king said unto her, "What aileth thee?" And she answered, "This woman said unto me, Give thy son that we may eat him today, and we will eat my son tomorrow." Now, how's that for being hungry? That's hungry. Caitlin comes up to Dad, says, "Dad, we're going to eat Amanda today. We're really hungry." But see, Amanda had talked to Dad earlier and said, "Are we going to eat Caitlin today?" It's quite a problem. This is about a mother and her children. So, verse 29, "We boiled my son and did eat him." The true story. These people are starving. "And I said unto her on the next day," because it's now their turn to boil that son, "and that we may eat him. And she has hid her son." They ate her son the first day, they ate her, their son. When it was time to eat the other one said, not eating my kid. That's not fair. If you eat my kid, I eat your kid. That's the way it is. Remember that. "Now the king was upset." Look at this. "And it came to pass, when the king heard the words of the woman, that he rent his clothes." I mean, what am I, how can I fix this one? "And he passed by upon the wall, the people looked, and behold, he had sackcloth within upon his flesh." This is not going well here. "Then he said, God do so, and more also to me, if the head of Elisha, the son of Shaphat, shall stand on him this day." So, Elisha's in trouble. Here we go. Change of scenery. Verse 32. "But Elisha sat in his house, and the elders sat with him, and the king sent a man from before him. But ere the messenger came to him, he said to the elders," see how, here's what's going on, ere, E-R-E, E-R-E, before. So before this guy shows up, Elisha's going to tell these other guys who's coming. Isn't that amazing? Now, any of you guys ever had visitors to your house? You didn't know they were coming? We didn't know they were coming. But if I'd have said Wednesday, "You know what? I think Mike and Beck are going to dump their kids off on us in a couple days." And Meryl said, "Oh, I can't possibly be. How can we do such a thing?" Next day, phone rings. "Hey, we're going to Hawaii. You want to babysit the kids? We'll bring them over." See, I didn't know that. It was a total shock to me. Okay? But here's Elisha. The king is going to send somebody to get him, and he knows it. He tells these guys ahead of time. Here we go, verse 32. But Elisha sat in his house, and the elders sat with him, and the king sent a man from before him. But ere the messenger came to him, he said to the elders, see how this son of a murderer hath sent to take away mine head? Look, when the messenger cometh, shut the door and hold him fast at the door. Is not the sound of his master's feet behind him? And while he yet talked to them, behold, the messenger came down unto him and said, behold, this evil is of the Lord. Why should I wait for the Lord any longer? He knew this guy was coming. That's cool stuff. Chapter 7. Got to keep going here. Chapter 7. Then Elisha said, hear ye the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, tomorrow about this time shall a measure of fine flour be sold for a shekel, and two measures of barley for a shekel in the gate of Samaria. Now, it wasn't just a few minutes ago, they were eating dove dung for like $500 million per little pint. Now we got, you know, this wild stuff. Then O Lord, on verse 2, then O Lord, on whose hand the king leaned, answered the man of God and said, behold, if the Lord would make windows in heaven, might this thing be? And he said, behold, thou shalt see it with thine eyes, but shall not eat thereof. This guy is going to die. Elisha's telling this guy he's going to die. Boy. You know what? I can tell you, you're going to die too. Everybody in this room is going to die, unless, of course, the rapture wraps us. But other than that, we're all going to die. I just can't tell you when. I could arrange for a few of them, but I wouldn't get everybody. This guy knew when. Go ahead and yawn, Donna. Your mother talked out of yawn that way, didn't she? I've seen that kind of yawn before. Look at verse 3. Now, this is one story in different sections here now. Okay? And there were four leprous men at the entering in of the gate, and they said one to another, why sit we here till we die? They're in a nursing home. What are we going to do sitting here till we die? Let's, what are you thinking? Yeah, what? Well, Bob's back. Okay, that explains that. If we say we'll enter into the city, then the famine is in the city, and we shall die there. And if we sit still here, we die also. Might as well get up and go do something. Right? Isn't that right, Lewis? I mean, you hurt, and you told me a couple years ago, I might as well get up and work. I'm going to hurt. I might as well get something done. Right? I'm still working on that philosophy. It makes good philosophy, but I hurt. I kind of, you're good on it. These guys were going to die. They figured, might as well get up and go do something. Look what they do. Now therefore come, and let us fall into the host of the Syrians. If they save us alive, we shall live. And if they kill us, we shall but die. What can they do? Kill me? And they rose up in the twilight to go into the camp of the Syrians, and when they were come to the uttermost part of the camp of Syria, behold, there was no man there. I mean, they're gone. That would be like Mike and Beck coming to dump the kids off, and we're not here. Wouldn't that have been a shock? You still there? That was kind of far away, okay. For the Lord had made the host of the Syrians to hear a noise of chariots and a noise of horses, even the noise of a great host, a lot of people, and they said one to another, lo, the king of Israel hath hired against us the kings of the Hittites and the kings of the Egyptians to come upon us. Wherefore they arose and fled in the twilight and left their tents and their horses and their asses, even the camp as it was, and fled for the life. Have you ever left your room in a mess because you were in such a hurry? Have you ever left your room in a mess and you weren't in a hurry? Shame on you. But if you're in a hurry, that's okay. Like this morning, top of the steps. Somebody's pajamas at the top of the steps. Somebody must have been in a hurry. Did you guys ever figure out who those were? You gotta put away good, see? Okay, verse 8. So you see what's going on here? These guys who know they're going to die, they figure they're either going to get killed or arrested. They get arrested, they get to go to jail and eat, I suppose. They show up at this camp and there's nobody there. Verse 8. And when these lepers came to the uttermost part of the camp, they went into one tent and did eat and drink and carried that silver and gold and raiment and went and hid it. Phew, man, and came again and entered into another tent and carried this also and went and hid it. Then they said one to another, we do not well. This guy must have been stuffed by now. We do not well. This day is a day of good tidings, and we hold our peace. If we tarry till the morning light, some mischief will come upon us. Now therefore come, that we may go and tell the king's household. Let's go tell the king. And we found the camp is empty. There's stuff all over the place. So they came and called unto the porter of the city, and they told them, saying, we came to the camp of the Syrians, and behold, there was no man there, neither voice of man, but horses tied, asses tied, and the tents as they were. And he called the porters, and they told it to the king's house within. But it's quite a story so far, but there's more to this. Verse 12, and the king arose at night, in the night, and said to his servants, I will now show you what the Syrians have done to us. They know that we be hungry. There is, we be hungry. Therefore are they gone out of the camp to hide themselves in the field, saying, when they come out of the city, we shall catch them alive and get into the city. Is that really what's going on here? And one of his servants answered and said, let some take, I pray thee, five of the horses that remain, which are left in the city. Behold, they are as all the multitude of Israel that are left in it. Behold, I say, they are even as all the multitude of the Israelites that are consumed, and let us in the sea. Let's go check it out. Let's ride in there and see if they do that. They took, therefore, two chariot horses, and the king sent after the host of the Syrians, saying, go and see. Well, and they went after them unto Jordan, and lo, all the way was full of garments and vessels which the Syrians had cast away in their haste. You ever done that down the steps? I mean, in such a hurry out of your room, your room is a mess, and there's clothes on the steps, and there's probably a mitten on the grass. We have found mittens and socks out in the grass here. Come on, we've got to go home. And there's socks and just this stuff all over this place when it's time to get some kids home. And the messengers returned and told the king, verse 16, and the people went out and spoiled the tents of the Syrians. So a measure of fine flour was sold for a shekel, and two measures of barley for a shekel, according to the word of the Lord. Who talked about that earlier? Elisha talked about that, said this is what it's going to be like. So here they are, they're finding this stuff pretty cheap. I mean, there's tons of stuff. When there's a lot of stuff there, it's supposed to be cheap. That's what it used to be in America. So, let's see. The shekel thing and the barley thing. What else did Elisha say was going to happen here? King was going to die. Uh-oh. Somebody's going to die here. Not the king, but one of the lords, one of the worker guys there. Well, here we go. Verse 17. And the king appointed the lord on whose hand he leaned to have the charge of the gate. And the people trod upon him in the gate, and he died. How does Elisha know this stuff ahead of time? He's a prophet of God. He's a man of God. He's a prophet of God. God tells him what's going to happen. If somebody comes up to you today, and when you guys get older, because we're all dead and gone, and we all go on to the great grandpa yard in the sky and all that stuff, anybody comes and tells you, they can tell you what's going to happen, but they can't tell you when. They just don't know that. And they're going to call themselves a man of God, and they're lying to you. Even if some of that turns out to be right, it's still a lie according to the Bible. And so the devil knows what's going on. It's going to really be hard. Really stand firm on something that sounds right, but it's not according to the scriptures. Here we go. Keep going. And it came to pass, verse 18, as the man of God had spoken to the king, saying, two measures of barley for a shekel, and a measure of fine flour for a shekel shall be tomorrow about this time in the gate of Samaria. And that the Lord answered the man of God and said, now behold, if the Lord shall make windows in heaven, might be such a thing be. And he said, behold, thou shalt not see it. Thou shalt see it with thine eyes, but shall not eat thereof. That's exactly what happened. And so it fell out unto him, for the people trod upon him in the gate, and he died. Walked to death. He walked on him. Stomped him. Just walked. You know, if you lay down on the ground and a bunch of people walked over you, you'd be dead. That's why we want you kids to not go up those steps so fast. Because if you walk up those steps and you trip, and we got Goldie and LD, we're not worried about them. We're worried about them stomping you to death as they go up the steps. You'd be trodden. Thank you, Stephen. I got one smile out of that one. We got to keep going here. Well, we're not convinced. There's one there. I can do that one. Haziel, that's a neat story here. Well, better not. Let's go to chapter 9. Yeah, we'll skip chapter. There's a couple of them in chapter 8. Parents, here you go. You do chapter 8. There's two things in chapter 8 that would be fun to read for these kids. But we're going to go to chapter 9. Verse 1. This one, kids, don't do this at home. This is one of those read about it but don't do it things. Okay, John? Don't do this to your mom or dad. Okay. Verse 1, here we go. And Elisha the prophet called one of the children of the prophets and said unto him, gird up thy loins and take this box of oil in thine hand and go to Ramoth Gilead. Okay? Now, this is not like car oil or anything. This is kind of a cooking oil or a smelly oil or something. There's a difference with car oil. We're not talking car oil. And when thou comest thither, look out there, Jehu, the son of Jehoshaphat, the son of Nimshi, and go in and make him arise up from among his brethren and carry him to an inner chamber. Take him to a different room. Walk into this room, find Jehu, and say, can I talk to you for a minute? He had talked to you in a different room. Okay? Then, Elisha tells him, take the box of oil and pour it on his head. And say, thus saith the Lord, I have anointed thee king over Israel, then open the door and flee and tarry not. Tarry not means don't drag, get going. Run, get going. Okay. Is that a way to treat somebody? If any of you kids come over to see me in my office, and you're walking up to me with a cup of oil, I'm going to get out of the way because I know what you're doing. Okay? And don't do this to your mom or dad. Elisha told him to do this. So, verse 4, what would you do if you were that young man? You better go do that. See, some people did obey in those days. It's not like today. Some people did try to obey in those days. Okay, here we go. So the young man, even the young man, the prophet, some of you are reading ahead, aren't you? You're checking to see if I'm going to do that one verse, aren't you? I'm not. I just want you to know I'm not, so just relax. And when so the young man, even the young man, the prophet, went to Ramoth Gilead. And when he came, behold, the captains of the host were sitting. And he said, I have an errand to thee, O captain. And Jehu said, unto which of us all? Unto which of all us? And he said, to thee, O captain. And he arose, went into the house. Look what he did. He did what he was told. He poured the oil on his head and said unto him, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I have anointed, I bet you had to say this pretty quickly. I have anointed thee king over the people of the Lord, even over Israel. And then he goes on. Look at verse 10. He keeps talking about these things that are going to happen. He finishes up with this one. And the dogs shall eat Jezebel. Remember Jezebel? One of the baddest ladies anywhere. Not bad meaning good bad, but bad bad. Wicked. And the dogs shall eat Jezebel in the portion of Jezreel, and there shall be none to bury her. And he opened the door and fled. This guy walks into this room, and he says, hey, captain, takes him over here, whoosh, pours this stuff on his head, and tells him all this stuff, and then leaves. Sam is smiling kind of. That really sounds like a fun thing to do. And with Paul, we talked about maybe we should take these four guys and we could act this thing out. That would be kind of fun. Maybe we could be a little, but we didn't. We didn't. Okay, now what would you do if you were Jehu? Then Jehu came forth to the servants of his lord, and one said unto him, is all well? Oh, sure. I always pour oil over my head. Wherefore came this mad fellow to thee? And he said unto them, ye know the man and his communication. And they said, it is false. Tell us now. And he said, thus and thus, there it is, thus and thus spake he to me, saying, thus saith the Lord, I have anointed thee king over Israel. Whoa. Then they hasted and took every man his garment and put it under him on the top of the stairs and blew with trumpets, saying, Jehu is king. So he was right. This guy dumped the stuff on there, comes back, and he becomes king. But there's more. Oh, is there so much more? Go to verse.
Chapter 9, verse 7. Why do I do that? Lots of things take place. We did that. 14 to 29. Why do I do that one? 14 to 29. What's that?
Let's go to verse 30. You know, there's a lot more in this book that we're skipping stuff, kids. I want you parents to read it. Just have a good time with these stories. I saved you the one good one up there for you to do at home. Now we're looking at verse 30. Remember, he said to Jehu, Jezebel's going to die, and they're not even going to be able to have her. I mean, she's just not there. Here we go. Verse 30. And when Jehu has come to Jezreel, Jezebel heard of it, and she painted her face. Now here we got the wickedest lady in the world painting her face before she goes out to eat. Or to be eaten. Need I go anywhere else in this thing? Painted her face. You know, and there's only so much you can do to a barn after a while, you know, I mean. So there's one thing, she painted her face, and look at that, it says she tired her head. Now, your head ever been tired? Louis, your head ever been tired driving a tractor of sand? But this is not it. Doesn't say her head was tired, she tired her head. Now, they had chariots, so they had wheels, but I don't think they had tires. So it's not a big old tire on her head. So I have time, I get paid to do this, you know. Had to get in the book and find out what tiring your head is. And it's really easy. What do you call that little crown that you put on your head, ladies, when you think you're beautiful? Tiara, tire, tire, tiara, tire. That's what makes you beautiful. The ugliest lady in the world, put on a tear and you are beautiful. Don't need to paint your face. Just slap a little thing up there and you are queen of the neighborhood. And that's what she did. Now here we go. Do you want a pattern in your life, ladies, after Jezebel? You're going to get outside, you're going to paint your face and tire your head? What's with this? Where's the natural beauty that Paul talks about? We'll get into here eventually. And she looked out at a window. Well, yeah, you bet. She's got her face all painted and got this tire on her head. She's definitely going to put her face out the window. I am here. That's amazing. And as Jehu entered in at the gate, she said, "Has Zimri peace? Who slay his master?" And he lifted up his face to the window. This reminds me of Romeo and Juliet a little bit in the window scene here, you know. Not quite the same, but things take place in windows. It's kind of strange. That'd be kind of a fun study. Window in the Bible. See what the... Anyway. Who was on my side? Who? And they looked out to him, two or three eunuchs. And he said, "Throw her down." Whoa. Been not enough paint on her face. Kept this thing together. So they threw her down. And some of her blood was sprinkled on the wall. It's kind of like the other night, Gavino. Remember, you're walking out the hallway and you dropped the beans? And they didn't just spill on the floor, did they? Where'd they go? They went up to the ceiling. And remember that? And on the wall? How can something you drop down go up there? It splatters. Same thing. They threw her out the window. She hit the ground. And she splattered. You don't need to go to movies to get the exciting stories. It's all in this Bible, I'll tell you. You just got to read slowly and get your kids into this stuff. I mean, this is... You got to read ahead of time, though, to prepare yourself a little bit. Because some of this stuff can be pretty dull, too. This is amazing. This would happen if you had to paint your face and put on a tire. Your husband would throw you right out the window. He married you for your beauty, not the paint. Amen? How do you know that? Because he didn't leave you at night. You take the paint off? That's what he likes right there. Forget the paint and the head and the tires, you know? Well, I'll tell you. Throw her down, so they threw her down, and some of her blood was sprinkled on the wall and on the horses. What the horses have to do with this, poor things? And he trod her underfoot. Just stopped her. And when he was come in, he did eat and drink. You got to stay. You got to stay not hungry and moisture in your mind. Make sure you're comfortable. And said, "Go see now this cursed woman and bury her, for she is the king's daughter." Let's give her the right burial anyway. And they went to bury her, but they found no more of her than the skull and the feet and the palms of her hands. That's it. That was it. She was not there. And what did Elisha say ahead of time? Dogs are going to get this lady. What they don't mind paying. Wherefore they came again and told him, and he said, "This is the word of the Lord, which he spake by his servant Elijah the Tishbite, saying, In the portion of Jezreel shall dogs eat the flesh of Jezebel." That's why we're nervous about dogs sometimes. They can do that. So just don't paint your face and keep a tire off your head, and you'll be safe when you're around dogs. But no, Elijah said, "Jezebel, she's such a wicked, rotten lady that she's not only going to die, she's going to be eaten by the dogs." Look at verse 37. "And the carcass," that's the dead body, "of Jezebel shall be as dung upon the face of the field in the portion of Jezreel." What happens when Mr. Kinch or Bob or Gavino, you put fertilizer out in the field? You can't go there in a couple of days later and pick up all this fertilizer. It's gone into the ground. It's just there doing the ground thing. Whatever dirt and ground does, fertilizer helps it do it. Disappears. So Jezebel, she was made into fertilizer. I mean, the dogs get out there, and what's left is just in the ground. And it says right here, "So that they shall not say, this is Jezebel." There's nothing anywhere where you can find, "This belonged to the lady Jezebel." Yeah, I bet you even the mascara pencil is rotted away and everything. And then the paintbrush and all that stuff. That's all gone. Although I tell you, go to Target sometimes, that place looks like a Jezebel headquarters. Had paint all over the place, and tires and wheels to put on people, ladies' heads, and just tons of stuff. What's the matter with the ladies above your neck? What's the matter with that? Is it not beautiful already? And if it isn't, you got to make a mistake, Jerry, right? That's what you always ask. This is how God shows it to be. Take it up with Him. This is the way you are. It's the way it should be. Now I talked about makeup. Remember where that's coming from? Anyway. Now you're fine. I mean, it's always nice to, you don't want to walk around like a, connect the dots. So a little makeup doesn't hurt, but, let's go to chapter 13. Let's finish this thing off before I get finished off here. This guy was such a miracle man that when he died, he still did another miracle. After he died. Now, you guys, when you come to my funeral, if you were so fortunate enough to enjoy such a thing, I'm going to be laying in that real chintzy coffin that probably Sam made out of the barn back there, and I'm not going to be able to show you anything else in the Bible. I'm not going to be able to do anything, say anything. I mean, I'm out of the picture. I'm not even there. But here, Elijah, he dies, and something happens after he dies that he has something to do with. This is amazing. Here we go. Look in chapter 13, verse 14. Are we still there? I knew it. We lost him. Let's hit the button here. Ah, they're gone. I knew it. They just couldn't handle the Jezebel thing.
I'm right
there. Let's see. What am I doing here? What number did they call from? I don't know. Oh, well. They'll just listen to it later. Boys, you can tell them all about it. You go back and tell Mom about the tires and the paint and all that stuff. You just have a great time. You can come here and stay with us. Here we go. Chapter 13, verse 14. Now remember, this is all about the Old Testament, and this is what's here for us. We can't do any of this stuff. I, as your pastor, cannot do any of this stuff. You may think your dad is your hero, and he should be, but he can't do what Elisha's done. But we can learn this is how God operated in the Old Testament. He did these things like this. There was a time that what people today are saying, there was a time that was the way it worked. But not today. Okay, let's finish up how Elisha died. Verse 14. Now Elisha was fallen sick of his sickness, whereof he died. So he got what it is that he's going to die from here. And Joash, the king of Israel, came down unto him and wept over his face and said, O my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. And Elisha said unto him, take bow and arrows. And he took unto him bow and arrows. Elisha's dying, okay? And he said to the king of Israel, put thine hand upon the bow. And he put his hand upon it, and Elisha put his hands upon the king's hands. It's kind of like Dad showing you how to fish, and to put your hands up, type your hands, and stuff like that. And he said, open the window eastward. Okay. And he opened it. That's it. Okay. Then Elisha said, shoot. And he shot. And he said, the arrow of the Lord's deliverance, and the arrow of deliverance from Syria, for thou shalt smite the Syrians in Aphek. They had insurance in those days. Aphek, insurance, Aphek, till thou have consumed them. ADD is flying today, isn't it? And he opened it, we did it there, and shot and shot, and he said, verse 18, take the arrows, and he took them, and he said unto the king of Israel, smite upon the ground. Take those arrows and hit the ground. And he did. He smote thrice. What's thrice? Three times. And stayed. He didn't stop there. And the man of God was wroth, Elisha. What is this? And said, thou shouldest smitten five or six times. Thou hast smitten Syria till thou hast consumed it. Whereas now thou shalt smite Syria but thrice. Should have hit that stick. He'd have gotten better, longer time victory if they hit that stick more. If he'd hit that stick more often. No one. And Elisha died. No, he's done. And they buried him. He's dead. Gone. Out of the picture. Poof, gone. And the bands of the Moabites invaded the land at the coming in of the year. Oh, this is sad. Well, look at verse 21. Can you find 21? You guys read along. We'll do one verse here. See if you can find it. We'll read this verse. Remember, Elisha's dead. It's like Claude. He died. We put him on the rack out there. And then we drove away. And there was Claude sitting right there on the table, facing his ranch, where he grew up on. That was the neatest story. But look what happens to Elisha. Ready? Verse 21, you got it? Got it? Caitlin? Paul, got it? Luke, you got it? Sam, you got it? Stephen, you got it? Okay, here we go. Gabino? Show Mom. Make sure Mom got it. There we go. Okay. And it came to pass, as they were burying a man, that behold, they spied a band of men. Uh-oh. And they cast the man into the sepulcher of Elisha. And when the man was let down, and he touched the bones of Elisha, he revived and stood upon his feet. Whoa. Couple thoughts there. If you were this guy, you know, I mean, you're dead, you know, and suddenly you wake up in this hole with this dead body, and you're standing in this hole because you touched this bones of Elisha, and he came back alive. What would be the first thing you thought of? How to get out of there? I bet that guy flew out of there. But isn't that amazing? I mean, here's Elisha, he's already dead. And the guy bumps his bones, and he comes back alive. Elisha did a miracle after he died. Wow. You know, I so badly want to have some kind of a motorized setup of some sort. So I'm laying there. And, you know, the few that love me to death come up, and then I sit up or something. That would just make my day. Not really. It would certainly make yours. You know. Here's the thing. He dies and he falls. They throw him down in this hole and he bumps Elisha and he comes back alive. Dude, try that. Try that sometime. And how are you going to try that? And there you go. That's the story of Elisha.